Right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Ain't that wonderful to think about? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Wow. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Those are both little S's there. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Okay, now let me read to you Isaiah 64 and verse 4. The Bible says this way back in the Old Testament in Isaiah 64:4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. So, first thing to realize here is there's no reference here to heaven or eternity or any point in the future. We need to realize that. There's the tense in here, for which he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. When you read up here in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where we read there, you realize that if you love God, now, he has prepared some things for you now. Mm-hmm. When you're born again, you get eternal life.
Yes, sir.
Then.
Amen.
We don't wait until we die to have eternal life.
Right.
Eternal life begins the moment you're born again.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, that's when the blessings begin, too. That's when the benefits begin, too. Getting saved is not just a religious thing you do, and then you just... You just struggle through it until you die, and then everything's wonderful. That's not how it is. It's wonderful from the minute you get saved. You start experiencing heavenly places. He's caused us to sit in heavenly places. It's not all future. There's a whole lot of it right now. I tell you right now, none of us here tonight know what God has prepared for us, even here and now, that we haven't experienced, haven't partaken of, because we just think about the future exclusively. You don't have to wait until you die to find out some of these things that God has prepared. Now this here, I remember Brother Leroy always talked about this verse. He said he'd read it, you know. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
Yes, sir.
So that's here now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We see through a glass darkly. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We know in part. And we understand in part. And then face to face. Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be a whole lot better there than it is here. But we're not devoid of anything here. Of things of God that he's prepared for us. Salvation isn't about us making a blind commitment. And living a lonely life of drudgery. And hoping in something that's yet to be seen. Our hope is not in what is yet to be seen. Our hope is in what we have already now.
Yes.
Y'all understand what I'm getting at there? When a person is truly born of God and enters into a real relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then eternal life begins right then. The benefits of being the bride of Christ begin then, not somewhere out in the far future. There's some benefits of belonging to God, of waiting on God, of loving God now. There's a lot of benefits to it. The things which God hath prepared for them, they're available immediately. Some people find that out. But most people never do. That's why some people excel in the Christian life and others just bog through it. Others live their life and never really, you know, I mean, we were singing Ron Hamilton songs there, you know. Just think about, and we can go back, John Newton, how many hymns did he write? Hundreds of them. Isaac Newton, there's, I don't even know. I've got it somewhere, it's like in my Bible on the computer, but it's all the songs of Isaac Newton. I don't know how many there are. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Something came out of them. Well, you got to put something in before something comes out. Jesus said we'd have a well of water springing up out of us. Every man's a well. There ought to be something coming out. You don't want to be a dry well, do you? How come you're a well? I mean, that's one of the benefits. There's something comes out of you. You know, I've lived long enough and been around through this deal long enough to, I kind of look for that in people. You know, I want to see something coming out of you. That's a blessing.
Yes.
Not just, we're not a well that's just a hole in the ground that everybody comes by and throws stuff in. You don't have to feed a well feeds you.
Yes, exactly.
You draw from a well.
Right.
There's a lot more things there. I said we're going to be short tonight. We got tuna, or not tuna, I hope not tuna. We got chicken sandwiches back there. When a person is really born of God, they have some benefits. The things that God has prepared for them, they're available. The things He's prepared are found. The things He has prepared are not found or discerned through the senses or the intellect. It's not about how smart we are, how much we know. It's not about that. It's just how much you believe God, how much you love God, how much you want from God. That's really it right there. Most people just don't want very much. That's a fact. They want just enough to suffice, and then they want to hold Him off. It's a glad day in my life whenever I finally wanted more of God than just enough to soothe my conscience and keep me still. No one can comprehend the things of God until they're saved. Now, that's just where it is.
Yeah.
When we read this verse and it don't move you, then there's something wrong with you in your soul.
That's right.
You don't get, like we talked about this morning, faith will excite you in anticipation of what God has prepared that's yet to come. You know, this idiom again, you know, the best is yet to come. Well, that's true. For certain and for sure it is. I'm just saying to you tonight, there's plenty of benefits right here in this old dark earth for the child of God. Yeah. But God hath revealed Him unto us by His Spirit. What does that mean if what I'm saying to you tonight is not true? What does that mean then? God has revealed Him to us by His Spirit. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. When you're born of the Spirit, you're quickened. You're alive. You can see where before you were blind. Into that realm where all these blessings are. The blessings of God, it's hard for people to understand because the carnal mind can't understand it. The carnal mind thinks blessings from God are things and money and good health and friends and happiness. That's what the blessings of God are. But what about all the people who have died in prison because they believed in God? What about all the people who were tortured to death and have lived miserable, destitute lives as far as the world looking on, but they had God? What about those people in Hebrews 11 that we're reading about? Dwelt in caves and dens of the earth and wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Destitute, afflicted, tormented. Did they have the blessings of God? Yes, sir.
Yes, they did.
But it wasn't the things that everybody sees. And it's not the things that carnal-minded people think are what God does for His children. See, what God does for you is He speaks peace to your soul. And he does something for your inner man that you just, that words just cannot explain.
That's right.
Was it in the Pilgrim's Progress when he said, it's better felt with the heart than spoken with the tongue? You can't, there's things you can't express. Have you ever felt things that you just can't say with words?
Yes, sir.
You can't find words for it. Words are insufficient. Words are insufficient to even talk about God. He's far beyond what we can verbalize or describe with our words. There's a realm that you don't know about as long as you remain estranged from God in your sin. You're blind to this whole spiritual world. And God is a spirit. That's the world He abides in, that realm. He's not in this physical realm where we can perceive Him with our senses, our physical senses. When your spirit is awakened and you begin to understand spiritual things, that's the avenue where these blessings come from. These things that have never entered into your mind or heart or ear, see? I don't know if y'all are with me or not. There's a whole universe of unspeakable joys and blessings that you never even realize exists until you're born of the Spirit of God. And I'll just say this to you, the longer you live, the more it'll be that way. You just, there's just things that you just feel, and maybe this is not right because we ought to share, but when people don't understand what you're talking about, why even talk about it, you know? You know, God has done things for me that I'm talking about here that I never have even told anybody, because there's no point in telling people. Mm-hmm. First of all, they'd probably think he's crazy and off your rocker. Mm-hmm. And they just wouldn't understand. There's things God does for each of us. That's that relationship. You know, God can do... We don't tell everybody everything that goes on between us. Never have.
No.
Neither should you.
That's right.
Well, it's that way between God and us.
That's right.
You know, the closer you get to God, the more He can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Secretly.
Yes, sir.
Yes. That's what He's talking about here. These are some of the things that He's talking about here. When you're born again, you suddenly realize that you can see what you never saw before. John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, now Jesus said what he meant, and he meant what he said. He didn't say he's not going to the kingdom of God, or he's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He said he can't see the kingdom of God.
Exactly, yes, sir.
He just don't see nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of hypocrites. Go to church. That's all they see.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're born again, everything changes.
Yes, sir.
And you start looking through new eyes.
Yep.
It's the Spirit of God entering into you that opens your eyes and your ears and your heart to the things of God. That's what he said. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit of God comes in to abide. Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And so then we can see these things that we couldn't see before. This whole world, this whole universe. John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. You know, I focus on this stuff a lot because there's really a lack of it out there. You know, this summer, it's summertime. A lot of churches having vacation Bible school. And it's a thing that's just getting more and more worldly, in my opinion. I mean, it's all about carnival atmosphere and fun and games and everything.
Yeah.
Camps are a lot that way. It's centered around fun And you just throw a little Jesus in there once in a while to Christianize it, justify it. It's not spiritual. The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This is John chapter 6. This is when the whole multitude turned and walked away. Said, this is too hard for us. So that's this chapter where Jesus turned to the 12 disciples and said, will you also go away? But he said, the words I'm talking to you, they're not about carnal things. He said, if you accept you drink the blood of the Son of God and eat his flesh, you can't have no part in me. You have no life. You can't. There's no hope for you. And they said, they thought he was actually meaning that, see? They was taking him literally. And he said, no, I'm talking spiritual things, not carnal things. Don't you appreciate that? Yeah. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. The Spirit of God can't enter in where there's no room for him. I think I swallowed a bug. The heart must be surrendered and the old man must be crucified. The things of God and God himself are real to a true child of God. You don't live in imagination. And you don't live in wishful thinking. You don't live your life wanting to believe. You believe. And it's a reality to you. It's not something you're just hoping for. It's a reality. In Isaiah, the verse I read there, he said, wait, the one who's waiting for God. He that waiteth for God. See there? Which hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. We've talked about waiting and hope and how the word is the same. You're expecting it. It's like we talked about this morning. Anticipation. Expectation. That's the way we live. Mm-hmm. But we're... who was it while this here the other day said something about handfuls of purpose? Was it you? Well, see, that's the way it is. He's caused us to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He's talking about here and now. Not in the future. Not we will in the future. Literally, but right now.
Yes, sir.
God does just drop handfuls of purpose for us.
Yep, sure
does. No, tell me he don't, because he's done it for me too many times.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about physical things either.
Yeah.
I'm talking about your soul has needs. You need to hear from God yourself. It's not about coming to church and having the preacher just continually spoon feed you.
Right.
You need to hear from God yourself.
Yes.
God, it must be that God does stuff for you in your soul.
Yes,
to sustain you, to strengthen you, to quicken you, revive you.
Yes.
You get weary, you get tired, you get discouraged.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You feel hopeless sometimes when you're looking around at the circumstances. David did. That's what he's talking about in the psalm. He said, until I went into the sanctuary.
Yes, sir.
You understand the things of God just as clearly and as real as you understand the things of man and of the world if you're really born of God. I'm just saying it's a reality to you. And you experience things that make life wonderful.
Yep.
I don't know how else to say it. I've heard it in church all my life, you know. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved. Well, are you really glad you're saved? Or are you just saying that? God is good to me. Well, that's good if it's really real.
Yes.
And it's really coming from a heart that knows it's real. Everything I've got that's worth anything, God gave me.
Yes, sir.
I realize that. I believe that. I know that. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? In verse 11, there where we started. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So, you understand what he's saying there? What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. But now, how do we know these things of the Spirit of God? Because, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Because the Spirit of God entering into us brings light and understanding to us. In that realm where all of the real blessings of God come from. Where all the things God has prepared for us now. Do you think he's just left us here to just fend for ourselves? That we're in a dark world and we're far away from God and abandoned really by him, and we're just trying to survive until the blessed day when we can die and get out of here. No, that's not the way it is. I never started living until I got saved.
Me neither.
I really do feel like that. I mean, I feel like my life began.
Yes, sir.
At that point. You ought to also. It's just, that's where my memories go back to mostly, from there on. If your Christian life is no more than clinging to a hope of something better after you die, then you really, I wonder if you've experienced a new birth. Because when you're born again, there's a new creature, a new life, a new creation. Your eyes are open and you can see what you couldn't see before. Mm-hmm. People on the outside don't understand. Carnally minded people do not understand that. They don't believe that. They think you're crazy. They think you're just making it up. They think you're just pretending. But it's not. It's not.
No, not at all.
Do you know God's real?
Yes.
I wonder how many here really know that God is real. And you're not just saying that. You're not just agreeing with it. And you're not just saying, well, I'd better say that because that's what you're supposed to say. And I mean, boy, I can't say I don't know God's real. But in your heart of hearts, I wonder how many of you really know. You hear all this, but your experience is totally carnal in the world. Your hope, really, you can't have any hope beyond what you can see here. Just got to make more money. I got to succeed. I got to do what I got to do. You know, that kind of... And you learn to be content in whatsoever state you're in.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yeah. You learn to be content with such things as you have. And you learn to rejoice always.
Always.
And you learn to give thanks in everything. And you learned that your life here really, you know, I mean, if any man loses life, that's how you save it, you know, what Jesus said. You save your life, you'll lose it. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you think that all there is just this life here and you live like that, add a little religion to it, you're going to lose everything. But you can have life and have it more abundantly. Didn't Jesus say that's why he came?
Yes, sir.
What does it mean, like have life more abundantly? Well, it's just what I said. I don't feel like I started living until I got saved and got to know God. And God became a reality in my life. Everything makes sense. I understand what's going on. I'm in a madhouse here. I see all around me people don't understand what's going on. And I see all around me, and I see among Christians, they don't have any private, really, relationship with God. Whatever they have with God is not something that you can see. You can't see it unless it's in a public gathering or something. Or they're around somebody that'll talk about God a little bit. I don't see wells springing up a lot. Do you? Hmm? Do you? See wells were, how many people you know that are refreshing? And when you get around them, you're strengthened and helped and refreshed. Well, we ought to be that. But we won't be that unless we're getting something from God, see? He's prepared things for us here and now. And I don't believe we even know half of it. Well, I know we don't. I have not seen, ear, not heard. But God reveals things to us as we go along, little by little. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. This may be a poor analogy, but Kim's dad had a guy that worked for him, and he named Todd. You remember him? How he won that lottery and didn't know it?
Yeah.
He fooled around too late.
Yeah.
I mean, he lived in a shed. Didn't have nothing. Poor man, poor life and all that. He bought a lottery ticket. And he fooled around. What was the deal? He couldn't read or didn't know. Anyway, he went in like a week too late.
Yeah.
Too bad.
$100,000.
Lost it. He could have had that, but he didn't know. Where ain't it going to be when we stand before God and we see what we could have had?
Right.
What we could have enjoyed here, what we could have benefited from in this life. But we traded it for murmuring and want and trouble and all. And that's where we stayed, and we focused on that so much when we see what we could have had.
Right.
Seth was bemoaning it in Sunday school this morning about how wisdom comes too late. Well, see, that's just one of those things in life. It's available for you right now.
Yes.
Wyatt,
yes,
it's available for you.
Yes, it is.
You can have it now. Yes. You don't have to wait 40 years until it's... Same with all of you.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
But the sad fact of the matter is, most of you will do just like everybody else, and you will not avail yourself of it until it's too late. Why do we want to live a Christian life like that? I mean, if God has things He can do for me to make me understand, if He can, and to comfort my heart and to give me understanding, I want it.
Yes, sir.
Now.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not talking about getting off of track and acting foolish and being like all these others. I mean, we got bounds to stay in and all of that. But that's where the blessings are.
Right.
That's not really the blessings of God. All that kookiness going on out here in the world, this freewheeling doctrine and all that. No. You find it in the truth and in stability with the Word of God. If you don't know what it's like to experience the presence of God here and now, then you really have no hope of spending eternity with Him in heaven. Now, I believe that. I believe when you're born again, you experience God here. If you don't, then you're not going to experience God the way you want after you die. Whatsoever is holy, let Him be holy still. Whatsoever is filthy, let Him be filthy still. Eternal life begins here, not after we die. Our relationship with God and knowledge of God, that happens here, not after we die. When we die, a child of God, we go to meet Him as a friend, a father, you know, on good terms. Welcome. We're going to be welcomed in if we're a child of God. We're not going to go before Him, you know, like all the pictures and the cartoon drawings and everything picture. You know, you got to meet St. Peter at the gate and go through all the checklists and see if you're coming in or not. That's not the way it is. That's why it's a no-so salvation. You know, or you... If you don't know, then you don't have it. Now, that's all there is to it. Something as big as God can't move into you and occupy you without you knowing.
That's right. Yes,
and you can't live your life in this world and get married and raise a family and all of that. You can't do that without knowing if God is helping you or not, is with you or not. I mean, God's the main thing. He's not just the sideline thing. God's the main thing in your life. If the journey is so wonderful here and now, then we can't begin to imagine what awaits us on the other side. I'm not minimizing or, you know, diminishing what is the fact that He has prepared much more than we've ever imagined or thought about. Right. Any man ever cannot imagine what God has prepared over yonder on the other side. But I'm just saying right now, we're not even, why worry about that when we're not even taking advantage of what's here for us right now? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's not talking about in the sweet by and by, pie in the sky and all that. That's talking about right here and now. Think of all the promises of God for right now. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Get your Bible sometime. Just start looking for stuff like that in there. What He promises to do.
Yes, sir.
Here and now. What's available for us. What the potential is. For even a little bunch like us here who just really believe God and seek His face.
Yes.
I was thinking the other day about that. You know, we quote those verses so much, you know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14 about if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face
and
turn from their wicked ways. I thought about that. You know, that's, we always take it as a general thing to everybody, but that's personal.
Yes.
You know, I thought about it. If I will humble myself, most of us can't get past that right there, and pray and seek God's face. Well, what does that mean? It's what we're talking about here tonight. For God to be real in your life. A very present help. A very real presence in your life. What could He do? Well, I told you I'd be short. I'm going to be short. We sang for way longer than I preach here tonight. Just don't be a poverty-stricken Christian. Boy, that's dangerous. I just don't know how much you can be like that. I mean, how possible is it for us to live our life as a Christian and not know and not experience deeper things of God than just what most people do? Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Art thou a teacher of Israel and knowest not these things?" Don't just be like them. Know God in reality. In your daily life. In all your problems. And, you know, He'll just do things for you. I wish I could just tell you sometimes some of the things, that, some of the times that God's just touched me. Really. I mean, it's as real as if He put His hand on your shoulder.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And what did... Man, I'm telling you, the hair stood up on my back and chills run up and down my spine. No, it wasn't nothing like that. It's just like, well, it's peace. It's strength that wasn't there. Just,
yeah.
It's there. Out of nowhere. You're strengthened.
Yes.
Remember how the angel touched Elijah? Remember how the angel touched Jesus? Strengthened Him. I mean, just strength. That's what He does. Just some of those benefits. Don't forget all of His benefits.
Yes.
Amen. Father, thank You for the Word of God. And thank You for the time here tonight. It's been a blessing. Pray You'd bless the Word of God to our heart. Pray You'd bless the food we're about to partake of. Pray you would bless our time of fellowship here and help us to enjoy being together. Help us to edify one another, love one another, bear one another's burdens. And Lord, I pray you would make us of one mind and one accord and keep us that way. Pray for the sick. I pray you'd help them, help Brandon and Paige feel better and get through this. Lord, help the other, Dale. I pray for him this week. Please watch over him, strengthen his body and help him. And Lord, use him and to accomplish your purpose and your will with his life here, even in this week. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the good Lord's day. In Jesus' name, amen.